We heard the wonderful words from 1 Corinthians 13, but there is not going to be a shotgun wedding this morning. You didn't get that, right? All right. Well, remember the movie Wedding Crashers? Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn are two best friends, and they love to go to weddings and crash them because they love to pick up women there, right? They have this wonderful story. Well, early in the movie, they're sitting in the church, and the preacher just said that the sister of the bride will read the scripture lesson. So Owen turns and says, $28, 1 Corinthians. And Vince then says, double or nothing, Colossians 3:12. Then, of course, from the pulpit, the sister of the bride reads a lesson from Paul's first letter to Corinthians. These words that we just read from 1 Corinthians 13, we've heard so often, right, at weddings, and I'm sure many of us know this chapter by heart. I know them by heart because my dad made them remember this. And they are wonderful, aren't they? There are many of you couples here in this church sitting here, and these words have, for many of you, have become your manual, how beautiful your family can be, how we ought to live. There are very many practical advice that this chapter gives us. Advice is like these. A young couple were meeting their pastor to sign some papers before the wedding. So as the future groom is reading this, he reads out one of the paragraphs loudly, and he reads, "Are you entering this marriage of your own free will?" So he looks over to his fiance, and she says, "Honey, tell him yes." He's learning the lessons well, isn't he? But you know, there is even a better practical advice I heard from Old South. In Raleigh, North Carolina, there was an old law, and you read something like this. It says, before a man asks for a woman's hand in marriage, he must be inspected by all the barnyard animals on the young woman's family property to ensure a harmonious farm life. Wow, what a beautiful advice. If we had that kind of advice and laws today, how beautiful our families would be, huh? You know, these words make so much sense to us at weddings because I believe our families and our church are the two places that God has given us, where God has enrolled each one of us in the school of love, the family and the church. Both places are where we are enrolled. And as Jan and Sam were reading the 1 Corinthians 13, I graded myself. I heard that and I thought, what grade am I getting in this school of love? And you know what, I'm not sure if I could say I'm getting an A or maybe not even a C in my family in this school of love. For me, the operative verse in chapter 13 is verse 11, where it says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. Then when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. Putting an end to childish ways. One of the things I remember when I'm advising young couples for premarital counseling, I try to find how they are in terms of their competition. And you know what? So many young couples, they are so competitive. They know that they are right. The young man thinks he knows everything. And of course, usually, when the young couples come in, the women are very quiet. They say, yes, he's always right. But you know what happens, right? We find that when we are childish in our growing up in the school of love, we always say, mine, mine, my way. I'm always right. Or, listen to me. Why aren't you listening to me? Childish ways. But we are enrolled in this school of love, both in our families, families that we're born into, but also the families that we create when we meet that someone special, but also in a church like this, we're also enrolled. Apostle Paul writes his letter to this wonderful church at Corinth. Of all the churches that I see in the Bible, this church at Corinth was probably the most gifted. It was the most thoughtful, most authentic in many ways. Their spiritual experiences were wonderful. They had healers in this church, people who could lay your hands on you and pray for you, and diseases would go away. You had counselors in this church. You talked to them, and they could solve all the problems. You had writers and poets and authors in this church. They could pen beautiful words, speak like the angels, he says. This church was the first church in the Christian history where the church gathered money so they could help another church across the Mediterranean. I mean, this was a wonderful church. And Apostle Paul praises them. But here, in this 13th chapter, he says, let me show you a better way, or the best way. And then we hear these words from 1 Corinthians 13. Despite all their activities, despite all their spiritual experiences and their successes, Apostle Paul is reminding them of the basics of what it means to be a Christian. Our choir sang that song, and we know it. Jesus, throughout his ministry, always came back to this touchstone verse, Luke 10:27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And 1 Corinthians 13, to me, is talking about the second part, isn't it? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul is reminding us that loving God and loving others can't be separated. Therefore, our God is two sides of the same coin. We can never talk about our love for God or our service for God or our sacrifice for God if our relationship to our neighbor is not right. There was an old Sufi who earned his living by selling knickknacks, this and that. And it seemed that this man had no sense at all, no judgment, because people would often give him bad coins, but he would just accept them. And sometimes people would even tell him that they paid him the money when they hadn't, but he was okay with him. But time came for him to die, and on his deathbed, he raised his eyes to heaven and said, O Allah, I have accepted many bad coins in my life from people, but never once have I questioned them why they did that. I assumed that they were not aware of what they were doing. I am a bad coin too. Please do not judge me, Allah. And then a voice from heaven said, how is it possible to judge someone who has not judged others? This Sufi had practiced what Jesus had taught. He had loved God, and he had loved his neighbor as himself. I am a bad coin too, he said. Isn't that what church is all about? That we learn to love each other. We learn that before I can call you a bad coin, that I realize that I'm a bad coin too. John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist Church in England, thought that the church was very successful. The Church of England, during his time, was rich. It was a very educated church. There were scholars and there were seminaries. The buildings were beautiful. The sanctuaries were wonderful. They had wonderful music, poetry. But the people of England were lost. Many were lonely. Many were suffering. Society was divided and families were breaking up. And there were great social problems all around him. So for John Wesley, he thought that the church had lost its way. But it was never his purpose to create a new church, to build new buildings or even create new congregations. John thought church has lost its way because church was no longer a school of love. So he went about creating these schools of love. How did he do that? He formed what he called the Methodist societies. Societies. You get that relational connotations there? John Wesley formed classes. These were these groups of no more than 12 people. He even formed bands, groups of 5 to 6 people. When he gathered them, he just gave them one goal: learn to love as God has loved you. This group of people, 12 or 7, were to, so to speak, to watch out for each other's back, to be there for them when they were needed, to pray for them, to care for them, to really know how they were living, to share the love that God has shown in their life. Those small groups changed England. They also changed America as this country was moving westward. All throughout the frontiers, Methodist circle riders will form these small groups of people who would pray, who would care, who are learning to love. You know, we recently did a small survey of all the groups in our church. You know that in this church, we have at least 56 groups in our church. 56. We have the Methodist DNA in this church too. We are in these groups of people who are active, who are doing things, who are singing, who are making, who are serving. The question is, are we receiving an A in these classes in the school of love? How is your relationship with God? What if I were to ask you that as you're leaving this church? Many of you will be surprised. What is the pastor? What's wrong with him? Why is he digging into my private life? Or, I didn't come to church for that. But you know, when the Methodists gathered, that was the question they asked. How is it with your soul? We weren't trying to be looking into your privacy, but we were simply asking, how are you? How are you really? And how's your family? And how's your business? And your partners? And the job you're looking for? And your kids? And your elder parents? And in that circle, and in that class, and in that band, people listened. They heard each other. They took time for friends. And that has created this beautiful church called the Methodist Church. I've said this to you already, I think, once, so I'm repeating myself, but in all the churches that I've served, I was always jealous of one group in the church. You know what that was? You never met on Sundays, or some did, but it was always the AA group who always met in the basement. I never knew any of them. I never see them in church. But something happened in their meetings that I always ached after, because each person stood up and said, I'm a bad coin. But can you love me? Can you help me to become a good coin, they said. And I always wondered why we weren't doing that in church, why we allowed ourselves to just live with our masks or a cover story like Owen and Vince did whenever they went to a wedding, rather than saying, here I am. God loves me, and I want to love you too. Can our love be deeper than the women's club or the Rotary or the PTA or the Eastern Stars? Can our relationship grow and deepen so that we can ask each other, how is your relationship with God? Or how is the business deal going, and how can I pray for that? Can I hear how your kids are doing? So, here's the homework for you enrolled in the School of Love. This week, or this day, as we come to communion, you know, communion was observed every week in the early church, and many churches do today. And John Wesley practiced that. Communion was like our, you might say, pop quiz every week. Because as we were taking communion, there was a question that we were to ask. How am I doing in the school of love? Have I grown in my love for God, for myself, for others? Maybe we come this day to communion seeking love. Maybe we need to be loved and we want to love. He's here. God offers it to us. Maybe someone has said something to you in our church or has done something and that's crossed you and that's made you angry or hurt and you just don't know how to say that. He's here. God says, here's power. You can forgive yourself and you can have the courage to say that person, I forgive you, or I'm sorry, or can we start all over again? Or maybe God has blessed you with so many things. Now maybe God is whispering in your ears, can you expand your love now? Can you give more of yourself away? And communion reminds us that we have the power to expand this circle of love that we have surrounded ourselves. This Lent season, I'm asking our church to go back to the school of love. I'm going to be asking us to get into groups of three, just three, trios. So this week and next week, pray. Think about people in our church. Who are two people that I should be caring more? Two other people that I should be praying, that I should be concerned, that I need to pray with. And ask God whether you can be a trio during this Lent season. Two people to watch their backs, two people to encourage, to pray for, and to be loved as well. So, you get the lesson class? Are you ready for the A this week? Because next week there will be a pop quiz. But it's an open book test. The question is, have you grown in your love? That's it. That's the test. Hope you work hard this week and get that A. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to love ourselves, others, and you just as Jesus showed us. Amen.